Here we are in Ohalot, Perekhet, Mishnah Gimel. Okay, it will take me just a second to get there. And let us continue. All right, so remember that our beautiful Perek has been arranged in such a way that it talks about four different sets of things that are being used for Ohal. So we had the Ohalim that serve all functionality of Ohal. They bring Tuma, and they are chotzitz b'fnei ha-Tuma. So anything underneath the same oil becomes tame, and if they're placed between a something that's tame and a something that's above the oil, they prevent the Tuma from going through. So they could block the entrance to your second story, and so on and so forth. Then we have things that only work to block Tuma. Well, actually, first we have only things that work to spread tumah, but don't work to block tumah. And then we have things that work to block tumah, but they can't spread tumah. That was wild. How can that be? And then we've got the case in which they do neither, and they're the type of materials that can neither block nor spread. So the perek was split very nicely by an expansion of the original Mishnah. And now we get up to Mishnah 3, where we're going to talk about an ohel that spreads tumah, but it doesn't block tumah. Now, that's easy, because basically what we need to do is take all of the things that we mentioned before that can both spread the tumah, they're mevias ha-tumah, and they're chotzitz b'fnei ha-tumah, and by changing one parameter, we can flip things around and make it that these things are an ohel only for mevina satuma, but not chotzis. And it's obvious what the answer is. The one parameter that we need to change is the parameter that dealt with Kabbalah's tuma. If it's a kli that's mekabel tuma, we had a whole list of things in the first Mishnah of kelim that are not mekabel tuma because they were too big, or because they were. Flat on the bottom with their size. They couldn't be rolled. All we need to do is change that, and then the same exact list that we had in the first Mishnah suddenly becomes a list in which they can spread but can't be chotzitz because the davar mekabel tuma is not chotzitz b'fnei ha-tuma. So here's the list. It's the same list in the first Mishnah except with one change. You have the shida, the teva, the migdal, the kaveret ha-kash, the water tank that we had from the Sfina Alexandrite, but in this case, the water tank does not have a flat bottom. It's got a round bottom, which means it's rollable. It's basically a big barrel. If it's rollable, then it's metalte molivarekam. Metalte molivarekam is mekabel tuma. Or the other ones, they could be flat, but they're enamachzikin arboim sobalakshem kurayim biyavesh. They don't fit the size that is required to take away the din of Kabbalah's tumah. So therefore, they can't be chotzis b'nei ha-tumah, but they're still an oil and they're going to spread tumah because the reality is that if they're over something that is tumah and you put them over your window or whatever, between the first and second story, anything underneath is going to still be tumah. Okay, we have the next piece, which also is part of the first Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah, the first Mishnah had section 2 spoke about materials that were made into an ohel, but if they hadn't been made into an ohel, would have been mekabel tuma. Exactly. So let's take all of those things. We had curtains. We had the skortia, which was a skirt, a leather skirt. A katoblia, which is a leather tablecloth or used as a sheet, just means it's flat leather piece, large leather piece, or an actual sheet made out of cloth, or a mapatz or machatzelet. These are two types of mats, whether it's softer or harder, depending on the material, the reeds that you use. The bottom line is that if they're not made into the shape of an oil, and they're just spread out. Obviously, they can be mekabel tuma because these are all materials that are shaykh to be mekabel tuma. And because of that, they will spread tuma, but they can't be chotzitz b'fnei ha-tuma. The third section that we had in the first Mishnah was talking about a herd of buffaloes. Remember? and you had the tumah of the mace was under the herd of buffaloes, and we said that anything that's under those tummies is going to be mekabel tumah, but anything on top of it is going to be chotzis b'fnei tumah. Yeah, but that's because the buffaloes are alive. What if the buffaloes are dead? Well, if they're dead, then they are actually shayach to kabbalah's tumah, because either they're nevelas, in which case they already actually are tummy. Forget about kabbalah's tumah. And then they can't be chotzis b'fnei tumah, or if they were all shechted properly, and we got a herd of shechtim there to shecht the herd of buffaloes, still the din is that they're mukshel kabbal tumah, because the dam shechita, or shechita, that was machlokas we had in Chulin, is mukshel kabbal tumah, and therefore they cannot be chotzis b'fnei tumah. And then the fourth section that we had in the first Mishnah was talking about the different kinds of ochlim, and we said ochlim that were never exposed to mashkim are not mukshel kabbal tumah, and therefore they could be chaytzes if they have tumah according to one shita. Here we're talking about ochlim that are tmeim, not literally are tmeim, but as we've seen throughout Tyrus, the word are tmeim simply means are mukshel kabbal tumah. And now there's one additional thing we didn't talk about in the first Mishnah. And let me add that so that you don't get confused. You realize I'm adding something over here. Mosaf aleihem, I want to add to the things in the first Mishnah, which I just changed one parameter. I want to talk about something else that could be an ohel for being mavius atumah, not for chotzeitz, which is a portable grinding mill that is turned by hand. And since it's turned by hand, it can be mekabel tumah, and therefore it cannot be chotzitz b'fnei tumah. Okay, and moving on to the fascinating next category in Oilas Perek Chet Mishnah Daled is now the third development of the Mishnah, the third set. The third set is an ohel that is chotzitz b'fnei tumah, but cannot be mevias atumah. Wow, that is wild. How could there be something that is chotzeitz b'fnei tumah, but is not going to spread the tumah? Aha. Here we have a fascinating situation. And the things that will not spread tumah are things that are not an ohel because they're full of holes. Except that their holes are not a tefach. So they're not meant to be an ohel. Nobody is going to make an ohel out of a net, obviously. But if that net does not have holes that are a tefach, so then it's going to be perfectly usable for a chotzeitz b'fnei tumah, because it doesn't have place for the tumah to penetrate. But it will not be considered to be mevi tumah because it's not an ohel. So let's say you have a masechet prusa. So you put your Gemara down. No, that's not what it means. You have a masechet prusa means you've got only the chassis threads, right? So you've got your loom all set up. You haven't started yet doing the actual weaving. So you've got the warp and only the warp threads are all going in one direction. And there's like, whatever, a millimeter between each one of those threads, right? Now, nobody makes an ohel out of something that is not solid and it's just got holes between it for the water to run through. That's not an ohel. On the other hand, there's obviously no break in it that's tefach wide, and therefore there's no place for the tumah to come through. That would be one beautiful example. How about chavilei hamita, which is very similar? You basically have netting, which is stretched over the bed, except in this case, it isn't stretched over the bed literally, because if it were, then it would be mekabel tumah, and it couldn't be chaitzis b'fnei tumah. But you made the net in order, the type of thing that you would have attached to a bed, right? So that type of thing does not have a tefach between each one of the strings that makes the lattice, but, and therefore it won't let tumah through. So it's chotzis b'fnei tumah if it wasn't roy yet to be mekabel tumah. But it can't be maybe tumah because you got to be crazy to live in a tent that's made out of a net. So the same thing would be true if you have mashpelot. If you have mashpelot, it's also netting that you use to carry garbage in. Over here, of course, it hasn't yet been put on the frame to carry the garbage, because then it would be mekabel tumah itself. And the same thing would be soragim. Soragim are the soragim that you have the lattice work in your windows. Or if you take one of those, you put it between the lower story and the upper story, right? Either way. So it's a soreg, and therefore there's no opening that is a tefach. The tumah can't, in that case, the tumah can't come through. But if you put it on top of your stairwell, going up to the second story, and there's a mace in the downstairs, it is not underneath it. In other words, it is not able to be maybe the tumah, because it's basically, as far as the oil is concerned, it's like open space. So that's a great, great expansion of the way we normally think about these things. Now let's take a look at the last of the sets. So the last of the sets that we had in the Mishnah were things that are not annul for anything. They're not maybe as a tumah, and they're not chotitzin as a mifnei tumah, and that would be elu lo mevi'in velo chotitzin, and that would be the cases of any type of a plant or a veggie, a zroim, yirakot, that are connected to the ground. Now, that I'm not talking about the case of the yirakot shemanu. We did have a list. We weren't quite sure what they were exactly, but we had a list of those interesting things in the first Mishnah. And the first Mishnah, those kind of things were the type of plants that actually served as really useful ohalim. But over here, we're talking about things that are simply insubstantial. So, yes, if you have a tree or you have the very thick leaves of the plants that we weren't sure what they were in the first Mishnah, but things that basically are just going to shrivel up where they are, or not going to be able to remain where they are. Let's say things like, you make this beautiful house. The only problem is it's made out of hail, you know, or it's made out of snow, or it's made out of gathering frost from the street, or ice, or you took a bunch of salt. I mean, it's all very nice to do ice statues and so on. It's really cute for Groundhog Day and everything. But it, generally speaking, if you're not in Groundhog Day, it's not going to last very long. Because of that, it does not have a din of something substantial that is necessary to be an oil, and it doesn't count. The same thing would be true if you have something that would be an oil, except that it is not fastened properly. So you've got, let's say you've got a sheet on a clothesline or something, or a talus is on a clothesline, and it keeps fluttering over a space where there is tuma. Something that is fluttering is not considered to be an oil. So if it's a talit, I mean, afnefet, or if it's a boat, it's a boat that's floating along the water, that is not considered to be an oil. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. Not considered to be an oil over a body that's under the boat in the water is one approach. However, that approach is a bit problematic, because if you are a water-breathing organism, then that water, you could say, is the same as air, you know, and so it's a nice ohel. But if you're one of us mammals, then it sure seems to you that when the room is full of water all the way up to the top, that the din over there would be that there is no ohel because there is no airspace. So that's actually a machlokus, whether water is looked at as atmosphere or whether water is looked at as something that actually fills up the space. So assuming that water is atmosphere, then it's talking about a mace that's under the water, and the boat is between the mace and you, but it's not considered to be an ohel at all. Neither lagabi spreading it, nor lagabi being chotzes, because it's moving. The other way of understanding it, if you don't want to say it's talking about water, is you could simply be talking about it's got like a little shelf on the side of the boat, you know, where you keep the lifeboats or whatever. So over there, if that area is moving along with the boat and goes over the mace, it's not going to be maybe a setup, it's not going to be chotzes, it's because it's moving. Now, if you tie the boat down with something that can really keep it in place, you got a good anchor that keeps it in place, or you put a stone on top of that floppy talus that you had so that it stays in one place, yes, then that's fine. Then it's anchored in place, and then it's maybe hetatuma. Rabbi Yossi says, let me tell you something. We spoke about in Masechet Shabbat, the question about relative at rest, right? We were talking about the idea of having a plate. The plate is floating on water. And then you did a hanocha of a nut in the plate. And the plate, relative to the nut, is still. So I say the same issue as Nogay over here. If you have a houseboat, so you put a house on the boat. So now it's the boat that's moving and the house that isn't moving? No. It's all one thing, I say. And even a bayit, which is on the Sfina, even though you say relative to the boat, it's at rest, it's also not mevia satuma, because the bayis, even though you think there's a mace in the bayis and you're in the bayis, is kalim, it's not an oil. Why? Because it is moving.